There are indeed many kinds of shepherds. My mother's favorite kind of shepherd is the German shepherd. There's the Belgian shepherd and the Dutch shepherd. The Bohemian shepherd, which brings to my mind a dog with a French beret smoking a gawa and sitting in some bar somewhere listening to poetry being read. There's the Swiss shepherd and the Belarusian shepherd. There's a whole host of different kinds of shepherds, but that's dogs. Dogs. No. There are indeed lots of kinds of shepherds. Shepherds who shepherd the flock of God, who shepherd the sheep. And the types usually come out to two basic kinds: the thieves and the bandits, and the good shepherds. The thieves and the bandits who are afraid of speaking the truth, who, oh, wouldn't dare step on any toes or ruffle any feathers or say anything that would result in a telephone call to the district superintendent or result in a convening of the pastor parish relations committee and issue of complaints and all sorts of stuff. I mean, there are those shepherds who won't do anything to upset the church. They please people. They don't lead them. They please the flock. They don't guide it. Shepherds are supposed to guide. They're supposed to lead. They're supposed to go and take care of, yes, and protect, yes, and lead, yes, and guide, yes. And sometimes doing that means doing and saying things that the sheep don't like. Now, in all honesty, I mean, I'm a city boy. I grew up in the city. I went to school in the city. I pastor in the city. I prefer city life. You can take the country. Give me Park Avenue. Green Acres, we are here. No, Mom loves the country. I prefer the city. So for me, sheep are rather foreign. When you go out and you see the sheep out in the fields, I've pastored churches where I had people who had sheep in the field, and I've been to see them, and I've seen these sheep, and I've seen the dumb things that sheep do. They are stupid. They'll eat the grass all the way to the ground. They'll stay out in the rain. And you know what happens to that wool when it gets wet? I mean, they're dumb. And that's why shepherds often have dogs to help corral them. And I've watched dogs corral these sheep. They run around them in circles. They bark at them. They nip at them. They force them in one direction and then another. I've seen dogs go out to a bunch of sheep in the field and literally herd those sheep, guide those sheep back up to their pens. Dogs are smart. A lot smarter than sheep. Oh, they're dumb. Oh, they're dumb. And there are times when I wonder about the people of God. Did Jesus choose that metaphor on purpose? There are two kinds of shepherds. There are two kinds of pastors. By the way, that word pastor comes from Latin. It means shepherd. There are two kinds. The hireling, who won't say anything to upset the congregation, who won't say anything, won't step on any toes. Oh, heaven forbid. I don't want any trouble. And then there are those who will take care of the sheep. And sometimes taking care of the sheep means you bark at them a little bit, you nip at them, or you kick them in the behind. There is a freedom with being in your last couple of months in a parish. You don't care about the phone calls to the DS. You don't care about the phone calls to staff parish chair. I warned Irv. All right, guess what? You don't care. There are things that need to be said. And being a shepherd who loves the sheep, they've got to be said, and I'm going to say them. And I may step on toes. I may kick some behinds. I may nip someone. I'm sorry. But the job of a shepherd is to comfort the afflicted and sometimes, yes, afflict the comfortable. Yeah. First thing I'm going to say goes all the way back to when I first got here, but is best illustrated by something that was said to me by our bishop when he came here for our 50th anniversary celebration back just a couple of years ago. Bishop Bledsoe was coming here for the service, and I was outside waiting for him, and it took him a lot longer than I expected based on his phone call. And I noticed, suddenly, I saw him coming in, but he didn't come in the entrance over there. He came in the entrance right out here, not from the east, the direction he said he would be coming off of 635, but from the west, coming this way on Oates. And that seemed a little strange to me. And he pulls up into his spot and he gets out. And the first thing he says to me, not hello, Greg, not good morning, not it's good to see you, not it's a beautiful day. It's why doesn't your church have its name on its building? He said, I drove by it twice before I found it. Our bishop, I drove by it twice. And it wasn't until I was coming back eastward on Oates that I saw the sign down low to the ground and realized that's St. Stephen. Why doesn't your church have its name visible and or on the building that can be seen from both directions on Oates? Are you ashamed? No. There were excuses. There are reasons. I've asked the question for 4 years. The excuse I've been given is, we can't put it up on the building because if we do, it'll rip the stucco out and it'll just destroy the structure. Have you ever heard of painting it on the building? Screen painting it? We can't have a second sign. Replace the sign you've got. You need to get the name visible. Connected. There are people who live in the houses over there, and the people who live in the houses over there, and people who live in houses over there who do, and they've lived there for years and years, longer than I've been here, who do not know the name of this church. They've told me that. The bishop couldn't find it. Staff parish had a meeting with the district superintendent a few weeks ago to discuss your new pastor. District superintendent was coming. She drove past the church. Didn't see it, couldn't find it. Went to the other address on Oates over in Dallas. Past Eastfield College. Called me and said, there's a house here, not a church. I said, you're at the same address but in Dallas. You need to come to the address in Mesquite. You see that big white building? It looks like the church in the Flintstones. That's it. Oh, that big white thing. I said, yeah, that's it. I didn't see it as a church. I didn't know that it was St. Stephen. Yeah, that's it. And she comes on to come to the meeting. She couldn't see you. Name recognition is critical. And there are people around this church who don't know it. People who've lived in houses here and there for 10 years who don't know your name. They don't know you. How can you reach out to a community if they don't even know you're here? They don't even know your name. The bishop's remarks, the district superintendent's recent experience, my mother's experience, she said, oh, don't say that, I'm going to, Mom. Her first Sunday coming out here, she missed it. She missed the turnoff. Didn't realize it was the church until she was past it. Sorry, Mom. Her experience. I have lived in Mesquite since 2001. In a house over here between Oates and La Prada. United Methodist elder, live in the community. I didn't realize this was St. Stephen until 2007 when I came for this meeting. Is it starting at home? Your name recognition. Are you ashamed to be recognized as St. Stephen United Methodist Church? I didn't think so. Thank you, Freddie. No, you're not. You've proven that in other ways. But why don't you have your name visible on the building? It is on the building in tiny little letters on the door that you can't see from the street. My brothers and sisters, sometimes a shepherd has to bring a point of view. Sometimes a shepherd has to speak something that you don't want to hear. You need to be visible. If this church is going to continue and to grow and to be a witness to the love of God in this community, if this church is going to be the unique witness to the love of God without restrictions, first and foremost, you have to be recognizable as St. Stephen United Methodist Church. When I did the fundraising for MDA last month and raised quite a lot of money for MDA to fight muscular dystrophy, when I went over to the mall and did the telephone calling from there, they all wanted to know who I was. Your pastor at St. Stephen. Where's St. Stephen? And I described where it is. And without exception, they didn't realize that this was a church. Or they didn't realize that this was St. Stephen. They knew where First Church was. They even knew where St. Mark's was. They didn't know where St. Stephen was. And yet you're on a major thoroughfare, just a couple of blocks up from 635. You're not ashamed, but it sometimes looks as like you just want to hide out. I know that's not true. Hear the word of a shepherd. You need to be visible. Another question, another point. And this one's harder. Mom said, please be gentle with them today. I'm going to be, Mom. I'm going to be. I've been asked many times, why don't we have more children and youth here? The reason is not because we're a reconciling congregation. That's not the reason. There are plenty of reconciling churches with plenty of youth and children. That's not the reason. The reason is because this church has... Let me start over again. I adore this church's worship service. I love structured and formal worship. I love hymns. I love the choir. I love the organ. I love the piano. I love it when we have special music here. I love dead German music. But that doesn't speak to the teens, 20s, and 30-year-olds of today. It did to me. I'm a weirdo. I go to the symphony every Saturday. I'm strange. It doesn't speak to most teens, 20s, and 30-year-olds. This church needs to become more contemporary to today. I was told when I got here, St. Stephen is a contemporary church. Yeah, to 1970. In 1970, you weren't even on the cutting edge. You were ahead of the cutting edge. You were the cut on the edge. You were blazing this trail in terms of dynamic, new and innovative 41 years ago. To be contemporary to today means to have a blend of music. I love it when we have the oboe or the flute the harp or guitars, playing with the piano, playing with the organ, in music that goes not just dead German, inclusive of dead German, but all the way up to live American and Spanish. I love a blend of music, and that's what people are looking for. Something that is that will speak to them and bring them alive. I was preaching at several months ago in Atlanta, Georgia, at a great big United Methodist church, huge United Methodist church. I mean, it had its own zip code. It was enormous, ginormous. And I'm preaching. And the service was blended. They had screens, yes. They had a band, yes. They had an organ, they had a piano. They had dancers, they had everything you can imagine, banners. They had a structured service with hymnals, a bulletin and display, and they had a beautiful range of music from classic hymns to contemporary praise and worship style, and everything in between. And it spoke to the people there. To the families, the children, the youth, the adults, the senior citizens. There was something in the service for everybody. It was an alive, energetic service. And I hate big churches, but this was alive and you didn't feel lost. You felt included in a very dynamic way. Saint Stephen, if we are going to be a church that speaks to everybody and welcomes everybody, if all are going to be welcome here, that means we need to be offering to all the gospel in ways they can hear it. Godspell is a good example of that. It offers in song and dance an innovative expression and drama the gospel of Jesus Christ. That kind of thing, my friends, that kind of worship experience, those aren't shows, they're worship experiences. Those worship experiences are the kinds of things that people are hungering for, starving for today, and which Saint Stephen could be a big part of sharing with this community. This church needs to think very carefully and pray very openly about what kind of worship you want to have. I love this kind of formal worship. But for the teens, the 20s, the 30-year-olds of today, they want something more, something and. And we need to be thinking about that and offering that too, and proclaiming the gospel in ways that everybody can hear it, experience it, praise with it, pray with it, exclaim it, and share it. Shepherds guide, they comfort, they teach, and sometimes they nip, corral, herd the flock, and sometimes it hurts. Change is not fun. I don't like it. But things that don't change are dead. Pray about it, my brothers and sisters. Pray about it. Pray with your coming pastor about it. Think and consider and pray about what you are uniquely positioned here to share with Mesquite and Dallas and Garland. And look at this community. The houses out here, the houses over there, the houses over there. Look at this community as your mission field. And offer for them too a place to worship, a place to feel included. Shepherds have to corral and guide. And because they love the sheep, they are called sometimes to say things and do things that make the sheep uncomfortable. My prayer for you, because I love you, is that you will look forward, take the best from the past, and carry it forward, and integrate it with the best of today and tomorrow to share the gospel with all. This shepherd wants to see that from you. And I know your coming shepherd will too. Give thanks and praise to God that we, as the people of God here at St. Stephen, have been graced by the love of God in shepherds past, present, and future, who will help and guide and lead us forward. I learned how to shepherd by watching my mom do it with myself and my brother. There were times, Mom, when you wanted to hug us so tightly, you almost strangled us, right? There are times when you just comfort and guide. There are times when you have to say more. My prayer for us as the family of faith is that we will all hear the more and move forward. In Jesus' name.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.